Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to God Invention Radio. Bill Polkinghorne from Discovery Patch is on the show with us tonight, and we are talking about all types of patent searching and how an expert ends up doing it. Now we're going to talk about how you as an inventor can do it, although I know that even if you end up doing it yourself, it's always a good idea to take what you've put together and still show it and get an opinion, just like what Bill does for his corporate clients is he ends up taking the information he finds, whether it's a product or technology or biotechnology, right, Bill? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be anything that that you search, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. What about copyrights and trademarks? Do you end up doing that for attorneys also?
No. Years ago I did, but I didn't have much work in that. I sort of specialized in electrical subjects, and mm-hmm. So most of the clients I ended up getting sent electrical work, and other people I know, if you need somebody, I can always refer you to somebody who's good at copyrights or trademarks, but that it's really a different type of search at a different location now also. The copyrights have always been done down at the Library of Congress, and the trademarks are up where the old patent office was, in Crystal City. You can do it by computer at the new patent office down in Alexandria, but a lot of people do trademark searches, and there's not much money in it, so it's not really worth pursuing if you need to pay your bills.
Well, speaking of that, there's a lot of inventors that want to save money and be able to do a patent search by themselves. So can you give us a lesson on a do-it-yourself patent search?
Well, there's a number of resources, and I always recommend people go straight to the patent office, USPTO.gov. And there's a couple reasons for that. There's other search services out there. There's pay search services where you can basically pay to get into a database and so forth. There's Google Patents. I just prefer the patent office because, I've been doing this for years, and also working in the computer business, basically, is what a lot of my clients are involved with. And you get to see what goes on, and Google's a, fantastic company that is very good at finding information for people. And one of the ways they do that is they keep track of your queries. So say you had an invention and nobody had, and you're quite sure nobody had ever thought of this before, and just say it was something like a cure to cancer, and you found that if you got Crest toothpaste and you mixed it with baking soda and you added salt and then baked it in a microwave for 30 seconds, you ended up with a composition that cured cancer.
Well, if it was that easy.
Well, it's quite likely that it is that easy. Just nobody, it's going to take somebody very inventive to figure it out. But anyway, essentially, when you go to like Google Patents or anything out on the internet, somebody can be watching your query, and I just gave you all the components of the invention. So if it comes up and, I said, I'm looking for toothpaste, and I'm looking for baking soda, and I'm looking for salt, I just gave you all the components. So if someone's data mining those queries, they can see that someone went to a patent database, and here are the terms they used. And the reason those databases would do that, I don't believe they're trying to be evil or anything. They want to know how to better serve their customers by evaluating the queries and seeing how they can structure their database to support the types of queries that are being asked.
That's unbelievable. So we're sitting there putting on and searching for different things on Google and being specific about our possible invention.
You could be giving away the recipe to your invention by by listing the components, because quite often an invention, it's the combination of the components. When we were talking about the pocket knife, the key thing in the pocket knife was that the blade was hingeably attached with, say, a rivet. Okay, and so when you say hingeably attached blade, you've just given away what your novelty is.
Right. It's almost like where soon it'll be when you're searching for something, you're going to be, that's your first disclosure date. yeah, to
well,
the public.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not really public, but,
right, right.
You know, we were advised years ago certain databases not to use. And the nice thing about the patent office, the one at the patent office, you know, the actual patent office search room, they don't monitor any of the queries. They don't store the queries. They keep no records of it. So anything I type in, once I've gotten the result, the query is lost.
You're talking on USPTO.gov website, right?
That's their policy there as well.
Okay.
So they're not trying to improve their database based on the content of the queries. And they're the government. So you think, it's just, I'm not saying that companies are bad and the government's good. I'm just saying that it's their policy. So they have this, you know, you really need to be private about your communications. You know, when you deal with a searcher, you know, we sign non-disclosure agreements. You know, I don't really tell people who I work for, and I don't tell people what I do. And I try to maintain that by using something like the USPTO.gov, you know, that I know is not going to be recording it. So an inventor that wanted to do their own search, I would say, you know, go right out. They have some nice search features, and especially, you know, for people that have, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have a lot of ideas. If you can do your own search on the patent office website and see that area is active, that there's lots of people that have, you know, solar-powered birdhouses, you can give up on that idea a little bit earlier and concentrate your resources and your efforts and your inventiveness towards your next idea.
So at
some point, you know, if you can't find that it's ever been done before, you might say, wow, maybe I should hire, you know, a detective, you know, get somebody that does it for a profession that has all the right tools. But there's no reason why a private inventor can't go out and do their own research. And it's actually good. I was saying one of the searches you do is a collection search. You know, go out and do a collection search when you have an idea. Go to the patent office and type in some keywords, or if you have the skills, figure out what class and subclass that would be categorized in, and just download everything in that class and subclass and
how
read
do we
it
do
like
that?
It's a magazine.
That's on the USPTO website?
Actually, on the PTO website, they don't support downloading, but there's if you go into Google and you just say patent downloads, you'll see that there's a lot of patent download programs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hard time remembering very many names right now. But
that's okay.
But anyway, back then, patent downloads, you'll see there's dozens of programs ranging from free up to, you know, a couple hundred dollars.
Okay. Bill, I wanted to ask you. So let's say I'm an inventor and I come up with this pen with a light. So I go on to Google, which, you know, if I'm descriptive enough about it, maybe whatever their data mining and searching, what I'm looking for is not exactly, but I'm looking at some kind of description. But when I'm on the patent office website, USPTO.gov website, I'm getting a little bit more intense with my, I guess you could say I'm being more direct with what I'm looking for. So I find a pen with a light or some kind of, you know, there's a pen out there, there's a light, now I'm putting the two together. First off, I don't know about, you know, the patents overlapping. It may not be patentable altogether. You can market it if you want, but you're kind of overlapping. Possibly that's, I guess, a legal opinion. But the point is that what is it that we're looking for as independent inventors that don't know better to patent search ourselves? Are we looking for the art? Do we have to read the whole patent? We have to just look at the claims?
Well, usually when I'm doing it, you can skim through them fairly quickly. Like you've, let's say, invented a pen that has a built-in illumination device. Okay, so you could start with a quick and dirty search by using keywords like a lot of people do, okay, and see if it turns up. And then you'd look at it and say, okay, let's say this is a pen. So if you went, there's a specific place in the classification system where you can go look for pens. You might look there and see if there's a subclass that says, quite often it'll say something like combined art, you know, combined with diverse art device. You know, the function of a pen and the function of a flashlight are two different things. So you'll see subclasses called combined with diverse art device. So anyway, if you can find a home for them, then you search that class and subclass. So you might look where the pens are over in designs. I forget exactly where, like design class 19 or something.
Right, but Bill, then you start searching, and all of a sudden you see the references of other patents that that patent had to reference, and you just keep clicking and clicking, and it's like a never-ending, you know, it just keeps going, and you're finding all different types of things, and it seems like everything is covered out there, but what's making yours so unique and novel? And that's obviously the reason why somebody's presenting the idea, because it's something different, right?
Yeah, supposedly. Right. Well, an inventor, of course, isn't going to go through the trouble of paying to have a patent search done unless they assume that it's novel. You know, that they wouldn't assume it was not novel and then just pay you to confirm it. They're assuming it's novel, and they're hoping not to be disappointed when you report that it is novel or is not novel.
No, but I'm trying to but we're doing it ourselves at this point, and then we're taking what we're finding, printing it out or giving the numbers to, let's say, an attorney to give us an opinion if it's patentable or not.
Uh-huh. When you were saying that, you know, each of these patents that you come across in the patent search have other citations, there's forward citations and back citations. The back citations are the ones that were cited by the searcher or the examiner or the inventor when the patent published. The forward citation is really a database function. If you go out, you can do on the PTO, you can do a forward citation search, and that says, have any patents issued since this one that cited this as prior art? So what I do frequently is I don't look at the references cited in the patent when I'm going through my first run. Okay, so you go through your first run, and then after you've selected the best art you found so far, then you might try forward and back citation searches to see what other searches found that were looking for such similar things that you were.
Okay. All right, we're gonna find out a little bit more about doing your own search. We have Bill Polkinghorne from Discovery Patch on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet blog. Segment 4 coming up in a moment.
There's nothing small about the challenges of running a small business. That's why CBeyond offers big solutions to help you grow. In fact, more than 50,000 small businesses nationwide count on CBeyond's award-winning communications and IT services, like our local and long-distance, high-speed broadband, mobile, web hosting, data backup and security, plus more than 30 productivity-enhancing applications. To learn more, log on to CBeyond.net. That's the letter C, Beyond.net. Big solutions for growing your small business.
Okay, you admit to yourself that you have a huge credit card problem. However you got there, you've racked up $10,000, $20,000, or more in debt, and it mounts up daily, right? I don't need to tell you what your credit card statements look like, but I'm here to give you some help. All you need to do is make one quick, no-obligation call to the Debt Solutions Network, and one of our partner companies will help you with proven strategies to help you get out of debt. They can reduce your debt, in some cases up to 50%, and help stop the collection calls. If you're buried in credit card debt, call the Debt Solutions Networks now and learn for free how they can help you get out of debt for much less than you owe. Here's the number.
800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. Learn how you can get out of credit card debt now. Call now for a free debt analysis. 800-814-5188. 800-814-5188.
Thank you for listening to WS Radio. If you are not listening on your smartphone, WS Radio and our friends at MentorMate have just made it a lot easier with our new WS Radio 2.0 iPhone, BlackBerry, and Android apps. Just search for WS Radio in the iPhone store, BlackBerry, or Android market. There are all free downloads so you can listen live or on demand to your favorite show. These new apps work on most iPhones and for the newer BlackBerry and Androids. After you check them out and see how well they work, pay a little visit to our preferred app developer, MentorMate. They have been programming mobile applications for over 10 years now and are one of the few companies that handle all three major smartphones. The world is going mobile, and that is where your company should be. To learn more about MentorMate and our new WS Radio 2.0 phone apps, log on to wsradio.com/mobile. That is wsradio.com/mobile.
Save your cash while increasing your sales. Every business knows cash is king. Quit paying out your cash while maintaining all the services you need. At the same time, increase sales with new customers. Sound too good to be true? It's not. WS Radio has done it using traditional business practices. We will even give you $250 in services just to give it a try. Log on to wsradio.com/barter. That's wsradio.com/barter.